Welcome to the weekly message from the Kalkaska Church of Christ, tucked into the pines of beautiful northern Lower Michigan. We're glad you're here. Whether you're listening on the road, at home, or somewhere in between, we hope today's message encourages your faith and points you closer to Christ.
This is a picture of, of Maurice Flitcroft. Maurice Flitcroft was a door-to-door salesman once upon a time. He's from the United Kingdom, and he also worked as a crane driver for about 8 years. And at 46 years old, and no, this is not his 46-year-old picture, but at 46 years old, Maurice decided he wanted to quit his job, and he wanted to become a professional golfer. And sounds fun, sounds like living out a dream, whatever. There was only one problem. Maurice had never played a round of golf in his life. And so he thought it would be easy. And he was in the United Kingdom, so he thought, he heard about this Open Championship. We used to be referred to as the British Open. Now we just call it the Open Championship and the Claret Drug, or Claret Jug, not drug, jug, that is one of the majors in golf, in the golf world. And in 1976, 46 years old, never played golf before, he decided he was going to try to qualify for the Open Championship. So he went out, he scouted out a course, he tried to figure out how to play golf, and he's beating it around all over the place. And it comes to the day of, and he sent in his application, and he checked professional, even though he wasn't. And when the people got his application, they thought, well, he says he's a professional, so okay. So they let him in. He'd never been into a golf club before. He walks in, and he gets on the first tee, and he swings the club and barely gets it to the front of the tee box. Maurice would go on to shoot 121 that day. If you know anything about golf, that's funny. If you know anything about professional golf, that's hilarious. The two guys that were with him got their money back, their entrance fee, because he drug them down the whole way. They had to wait for him to play golf all the way around. So Maurice, after being escorted off the course after round one, then tried six more times to sneak on to the course. But the fact of the matter is, Maurice had the wrong credentials to be there. He had the wrong credentials to be in the Open Championship. He had the wrong credentials to even qualify to be in professional golf. He didn't have the golf game to do it. He had the wrong credentials. We're looking at the book of Hebrews. We're in this 8-week study, and we're going to cover a big chunk of Hebrews today because basically between the end of chapter 4 all the way through chapter 9, there are two subjects that we need to deal with. The more difficult one, I'm kicking the can down the road to next week. But the one we need to deal with today has to do with Jesus being our high priest and what exactly that means. The subject we'll cover next week, you can read about in Hebrews 6. Or if you get bored with this sermon, you can read about in Hebrews 6 while I'm talking to you. And you'll be like, whoa, how's he going to deal with that? I have no idea yet, but we'll figure that out next week. So we're going to be in starting in Hebrews chapter 4 at the end of it right now. And we're going to kind of go through these next several chapters talking about this one subject, that is Jesus as our high priest and what exactly that means and why this author of Hebrews is relaying this information. So if you'll remember the context, we don't know who the author is, but he or she seems to be writing to this group of Jewish people who are thinking about walking away from their faith. Who have decided that, I don't know if we can handle the persecution. I don't know if I can handle this journey of being like Jesus. And so they're thinking about walking away from that faith in Jesus and going back to their Jewish roots and following all things Jewish. Well, if you remember some things that Paul wrote about that, he said, if you want to be judged by the law, or if you want to live by the law, you're going to be judged by the law. Right. And if we're going to be judged by the law, we're going to fail every single time. And that's what the author of Hebrews is trying to express. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. That's the first couple of verses, verses 14 and 15. It says this: since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is a better high priest because he was without fault. He was without fault. Now, if we go back to the beginning of each of the Gospels, we would read about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. And Satan, after he had fasted 40 days, Jesus fasted 40 days, Satan took him to the wilderness and he said, you know what, you're hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus quoted the Old Testament and said, Satan, man shall not live by bread alone. Satan took him up to this high place and said, hey, if you bow down before me, you can have all this power. You can have all this stuff. And Jesus said, you shall not bow down to anyone else but the Lord our God. And then, of course, Satan said, why don't you just throw yourself off this high place and the angels will come and catch you. He misquotes scripture. And Jesus said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So we know he was tempted in the wilderness. And so Jesus, when he came to earth, he was fully God, but he was fully man. He felt hunger. He felt pain. He felt the temptation because he had to in order to live his life perfectly so that he could be our perfect high priest. Now, the high priest, what that is a mediator between man and God. If we go back to the Old Testament, which we'll cover here a little bit as we go through this, but the Israelite people couldn't just approach God. In fact, they didn't want to. They saw things shake and thunder and clouds and earthquakes, and they're like, we don't want to go up there. Moses, you talk on our behalf. And so God established this priestly line that would be the mediator between the people and God. If they wanted to make a sacrifice, they would go to the priest, and the priest would make the sacrifice on their behalf with God. Okay? And so as the author of Hebrews is saying to this group of people, listen, let's talk about the high priest situation. If you're going to live like a Jewish person and try to follow the law and try to be perfect through the law, that means that your mediator is a high priest. I'm telling you, we have a better one. He was without fault. He was without sin. 1 Peter 2:22, the Apostle Peter wrote, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul said, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Does that mean he made Jesus sinful? No, it means that he cast all of our sins onto Jesus who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He did that so that he could be the one that was the mediator between us and God. He took all of our sins on him. Right. So he's trying to express this to these people that are thinking about, again, walking away from their faith. In Philippians 2:8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus lived a perfect life. And as the author of Hebrews is expressing this to this group of people, he's saying, we need to follow Jesus. Don't turn away from him. He is our new high priest. He is the one that lived a perfect life so he could be the perfect sacrifice. In Romans 5:19, Paul wrote, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. He's talking about Adam, right? Through Adam, we've all sinned. So by the one man, Jesus' obedience, the many will be made righteous. Jesus was obedient. He came to earth, fully God, fully man, dealt with temptation, dealt with the pain, dealt with all of those things that took place. Yet, he was perfect through that. So later, as we'll talk about, he could be the perfect sacrifice. Now, the author of Hebrews goes on to say, if you look at the high priest, they were offering sacrifices, but they had to offer some on their own, too, for themselves, because they weren't perfect people. In fact, look at Leviticus chapter 10. Now, Nadab and Abihu, they were the sons of Aaron. Aaron was like the first priest, and the line would come through the Levite line. And Nadab and Abihu were his sons, and each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. They were not perfect. They disobeyed God. They didn't follow his direct instructions on what this fire and the incense and fire, all that stuff should be. And when they did it incorrectly, they died. They were not perfect people. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, the sons of Eli. Eli was the priest that, if you remember, Hannah went to and was praying fervently. And Eli came up and said, woman, you're drunk. Go home. And she's like, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just trying to pray before God for a child. And Eli said, all right, may your prayer be answered. Well, Eli had a couple of sons who were supposed to follow him and be priests. But in chapter 2, verse 12, it says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. These are some of the people that were supposed to be mediators between man and God. And they didn't even know him. And in verse 22 of chapter 2, it says, Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel, how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. They were bad guys. And yet they were the mediators between man and God. And so this author of Hebrews is saying, listen, let's look to Jesus. Let's think about him. He lived a perfect life. Up to this point, you've been following these Jewish customs, and these people that are sinful also are trying to be your mediators. It doesn't work that well. It doesn't work like that. In Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron even. Aaron, the original priest, the OG priest, if you will, right? That was supposed to be me being cool. That was funny? No? Okay. They spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. A little redundancy in that sentence. I always thought that was funny. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. And the Lord was mad. He said, bring him before me. And Miriam ended up having leprosy. And Aaron's like, Moses, tell God to take the leprosy away. And the Lord said, you know what? She's got to stay outside of town, just like she was impure. And she'll be able to be let in when the time comes. Like, he was so ticked off at them for rebelling and saying, who's Moses that he gets to be the guy leading? And their pride got the best of him. That was the first priest. So the author of Hebrews is saying to these people, listen, think about what you're walking away from. You are allowing people who are sinful people to be mediators between you and God. But now we have Jesus, the perfect one. No sin in his life. He's the perfect high priest. All right, Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 5. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest. All right. So he wasn't just say, OK, I think I'll be high priest today. He was appointed by him, by God, right, who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And he says also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is a better high priest because his appointment was from the Father. God put him in this place. In Numbers 3, chapter 6 and 7, this is the installation of priesthood. Bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister to him. They shall keep guard over him and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting as they minister at the tabernacle. And in Genesis chapter 14, this is where we come up with this whole Melchizedek thing. So what God did in Numbers is he established the Levite line and said, all right, they're going to be the priests. They're going to be the mediators between me and my people. All right. And now when he appointed them as priests, that's great. But now there's this new covenant and he now has appointed Jesus to that spot. And again, this is what this author is trying to express to these people, that this is all part of God's plan. Because these Jewish readers are thinking, we have a relationship with God. We want a relationship with God. That's who we want to put our hope and put our trust in. And he's saying, this is still carrying that out. Because God himself has appointed Jesus to be the new high priest, the mediator between him and his people. So this whole Melchizedek thing is in Genesis chapter 14. In Genesis 14, what took place is that Abram and Lot, if you remember, God called Abram, said, I'm going to make you a great nation and everything. And he took his nephew Lot with him. Some because he was probably caring for him because his father had died. Some also because he probably thought Lot would be the descendant that he had all these people that God said he would have. He didn't know what all that meant. And so it came a point where Lot had a whole bunch of stuff and Abram had a whole lot bunch of stuff. And Abram said, listen, Lot, we need to part ways because our people aren't getting along. This is just too big. And so Lot chose this place with that had Sodom and Gomorrah in it. And we know how that ended for them. But anyway, different story for a different day. But anyway, so they parted ways. Well, eventually, Sodom and Gomorrah were taken over by some kings. Right? There was a big battle. They took them away. Abram heard that Lot was taken captive. And so he mustered up all like 350 or 370 of his soldiers and they went after him and they defeated the enemy and he got Lot back with his family. And then he had all these spoils from the war and all this stuff. And in Genesis 14, 18 through 20, it said this. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. So this is before the law, before God established the Levites as the priesthood. All right, all of that. It says he was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, Abram, and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. That's where the whole thing about tithing started in the Bible. Now, we don't know why a tenth, why he came up with that, if it was instruction from God. But Abram had all these spoils. He gave a tenth of it to this priest who is a priest of God. Right? Now, we fast forward to Hebrews 7. And this is what this author of Hebrews said about Melchizedek. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. All right. So what does all this mean? The author of Hebrews, he knows that his audience will understand who Melchizedek is. They've read their Bibles. They've read the scrolls. They know all about the Old Testament law and the prophets. They know Melchizedek. They know Abraham, everything about him. They had to memorize all this in Jewish boy school, right? They know all of this stuff. And so he brings up Melchizedek. Why? Because Melchizedek isn't mentioned anymore. He's not in any genealogies. He's got no birth. He's got no death. He's just this priest of God Most High that Abram brought a tenth of everything to. And so these readers, it's connecting with them. And so this author of Hebrews says, I want you to understand this is Jesus. He's like the new Melchizedek. He's the one that always was. He's eternal. He always was. He always will be. He will live forever. And he's the one that is now your high priest. He is the one now that you, as Abram's descendants, will come to him and say, I want to communicate with God. I want to give something to God. He's the one that we now do that through. And that's what he's trying to express to them, that he's a better high priest because he was without fault. And he's a better high priest because he was appointed by God himself. All right. Hebrews chapter 9. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. He's a better high priest because his sacrifice is final. It's final. Imagine being a Jewish person and every year you're coming up and you're bringing animals to sacrifice because you've just repeatedly failed before God and have to bring these sacrifices over. It's just a constant reminder of how inadequate you are, how weak you are, how rebellious you are before God. And every time there's more blood spilled and more blood spilled. But we know we have a better high priest in Jesus because one time he went to the cross as a perfect sacrifice and has his blood poured out. We have forgiveness of sins. One time. The author compares it to a will. I don't know if you've ever been in a will reading. I have not. I've only seen it on TV and it looks really dramatic. I'm kind of looking forward to one day being in one of those readings. So if any of you want to put me in your will, just so I can be in the room, that would be pretty cool. Just give me $10. I'm all good. I just want to be in there, right? And what happens, of course, is they go in and they say, Uncle Joe gives all the stuff to whoever, and one and the other kid doesn't get nothing because he was mean to him or whatever. So we've seen all that happen. But the author says, here's the deal. The will doesn't get to be executed until someone dies. And in essence, till that person's blood is spilled, if you will. Like they're gone. And so in the same way, this new covenant that we have with God through Jesus, it only happened, this new covenant, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's when his blood was spilled. And the will, if you will, is read. And it says, anybody that believes in him
will not die, but have everlasting life. He is our new high priest. Hebrews 9:15. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. That first covenant, if you also go 9, I think it's verse 19, maybe it's verse 9. It says the law never saved anyone, or the law never made anyone perfect. Right? They kept sinning and sinning and sinning, right? But Jesus being the perfect sacrifice, his blood poured out so that we could be with him for eternity. Hebrews 9:22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So again, this author of Hebrews, I wish he had a name so that I could refer to him as Paul or whoever, right? But anyway, the author of Hebrews is looking at this group of people who they say, you know what, the persecution is too much. We're seeing family being torn apart. We see people dying. This persecution, this pain that we're enduring, it just seems too much. Or maybe they're looking at this life and saying, I don't know if I can stay in the fight. And this author is saying to them, okay, let's think about who you are. God has chosen your people. He's chosen us, our nation, to be his people. And he said to us, this is how I'm going to communicate with you through these priests. This is how you're going to have forgiveness of sin. But as you all know, generation after generation, people continue to sin and continue to sin and continue to sin. But God still loves us. And in his great love for us, he sent Jesus to die for us and has now made him this new high priest, so that if you want to approach the throne of God, approach the throne of grace, we can do so because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And that's what he's using to try to help them express, that they shouldn't walk away, but instead they should persevere. They should persevere. This is a picture of Maurice in one of his clever costumes. It's kind of like Superman just putting on glasses and everybody's like, oh, that's Clark Kent. He doesn't look like Superman at all. This is one of the costumes Maurice tried to use to enter the Open. And I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, you know, we don't have to have a costume to get the right credentialing to enter heaven or to be a part of the family of God. In fact, if we try to put on a costume, if we try to say I'm somebody that I'm not, if we try to act like somebody that we're not, if we try to act like a Christian, but inside God knows our thoughts and our hearts, it won't work. It won't work with the credentialing that we need to be part of his family. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We can have confidence because Jesus has the right credentials as our Christ to draw near to the throne of grace. So each week as I'm preparing, I always kind of get to this moment where I'm putting the message together and I'm like, so what's the big takeaway? What's the big so what? What's the big challenge? What's the so go and do this? And man, I fail often trying to come up with what those are. And this is one of those messages. It had a lot of information about Jesus being our high priest, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. But I've tried to figure out what is it that God wants us to know from this. And this is the best I could come up with. Number one, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, today's the day, right? If the Holy Spirit's nudging you, I'm here to tell you that we have a high priest that allows us entrance to the throne of grace when this life is done. And it's through Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on Calvary on our behalf. And so if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's time to have that confrontation, have that conversation and say, okay, what am I waiting for? What am I looking at? What am I being held up by? All right. Because the author of Hebrews is looking right at you and saying, listen, you haven't even entered in the faith to walk away from it. And if you want to know about this faith, Jesus died for you because God loves you and he wants to spend eternity with you. Period. That's the good news of the gospel. Secondly, you might be here as a Christian, and maybe life's not going as great as you thought it might with your life with Christ. Maybe you're getting beat down a little bit too much. Maybe dealing with some things that you're like, when are these blessings going to come pouring out on me once in a while, right? And you're wondering if you have what it takes to persevere to the very end. And I'm here to tell you that you have a high priest in Jesus Christ that is watching out for you. Sometimes those knocks that we're taking, those punches in the nose that we have to deal with, sometimes he's testing us to say, are you going to persevere? Sometimes he's just strengthening our faith by putting us through these tests so that we might fully know and understand and see him for who he is. And sometimes it's Satan trying to trip you up, trying to say, you don't persevere. Just quit. Just give up. We got other stuff to do over here. And the call to you is simply to say this: persevere, because we have a better high priest in Jesus Christ, a new covenant. A perfect man laid down his life on your behalf. And if he can do that for us, we can work through the knocks that we take in this life. The last thing might be for the rest of you that life's just perfect, right? For both of us. And for you, I say maybe it's just a reminder. I know I kind of needed it this week. Just needed to know that Jesus died for me. And I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. Not going to let anybody steal my peace. Not going to let anybody steal my hope. Because I have a better high priest in Jesus Christ. Lived a perfect life. Looked at Andy Bratton. Through all the costumes. Through all the junk. All the facade. And said, I died for you. I died for you. Now I want you to live for me. Sometimes our faith gets a little stale. And we just need a reminder that God loves you. So I hope, if nothing else, that's what you walk away with today. It's just a warm hug from Jesus saying, I'm still here. I love you. Let's do this thing together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our new high priest that we have in Jesus. Thank you for this new covenant that we could be under. Because the old one never saved anybody, the old one couldn't make anyone perfect. But Jesus, our perfect sacrifice, laid down his life, even though we're sinners. He died for us because you love us. We couldn't be more grateful, Lord God. I pray this week, Father, that we would just rest in that. That we would just feel your presence. That you would just point us to scripture you want us to see. Point us to the thoughts you want us to have as we just reflect on how blessed it is to be a part of your family. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.